Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Are you weary in your journey of the Christian life? Do you wonder where that newness and that sense of wonder went? Well, next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study a series entitled Highway 1, How to Enjoy the Journey of the Christian Life with Jesus Christ in First Place. The Christian life is a journey, and sometimes it can be a frustrating, wearisome, and a tiresome journey. If you're weary or discouraged, then we hope today's message on Daily in the Word will bring you hope and strength. Our series is entitled Highway 1. We're studying how to enjoy the journey of the Christian life with Jesus Christ in first place. When our eyes and focus are on Him, He makes all of the difference. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program comes to you from the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. Thanks so much for being with us today for this edition of Daily in the Word. Before we get started, don't forget to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find lots of links and resources that will help you in your Christian life and in your relationship with the Lord Jesus. You'll find lots of resources that will encourage your heart and also more information about this ministry, Daily in the Word, and Dr. Paul Chappell. But now we're excited to begin this series with you. We open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. The title of today's message is GPS for Your Family. Here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
Well, every one of us, when we start a journey, need to lay out the direction and decide which way we're heading, whether we're going to go to Colorado or New York or Florida or San Francisco. And in the olden days, they had these things called maps. Remember those? And you'd unfold them and put them on your dashboard. And maybe you'd go to the Automobile Association and they'd highlight it for you and tell you where you were headed. And nowadays, they have these little talking machines called GPS. And they'll tell you how to go and which route to take if you just punch in your final address. Dr. Sisk is here this morning, and he might remember last year when we went to the board meeting at Baptist International Missions, and he picked me up, and we were going to the hotel first and then to the board meeting, and he said, Pastor, don't worry. He said, I have a GPS. I know exactly how to get where we're headed. And he had one of those GPS on the top of his car, and he had it punched in for our destination. And I was about 3 or 4 miles into the journey. It said, turn a particular way, and Dr. Sisk said, that's not the way to go, and he went another way. And he went another way, and that lady inside the GPS monitoring system began to speak to us, and she said, rerouting, rerouting. and she was rerouting the whole time we drove on that trip trying to get to the hotel. Mrs. Sisk, I hate to say it publicly, but he said, I already have one woman telling me what to do at home. Now I got one in the car telling me what to do. And he was complaining at that GPS the whole time. Now, the GPS is supposed to help you with a good direction, knowing which way to go. And it is important that you set the right destination. It's important that you study the route. I think of so many beautiful routes right here in our own state, and one of my favorite is Highway 1. And California, we have a lot of faults and a lot of flaws, no doubt about that. And yet there's a lot of great things about this state, a lot of beautiful things about California as well. Down in Orange County, they call Route 1 the Pacific Coast Highway. Maybe you've traveled along Pacific Coast Highway down around Laguna Beach or Huntington Beach or Long Beach, down in that area. area. It's a beautiful area as you drive along PCH. And then you come up through Santa Monica and Malibu, and you go along the coastal area and see the beauty as well. And it's a wonderful, wonderful drive just to behold God's creation. You come along through Pismo Beach, and you begin to see some of the beauty there and the sand dunes in that area. And then, of course, you come up north a little farther along. You'll come by Hearst Castle and some of the Central California area. If you keep driving on Highway 1, you'll come up even to San Francisco, the Golden Gate Bridge. And you can cross through 19th Street onto the Golden Gate Bridge. And then on up on this Highway 1, you go into Northern California. You see the beauty of the redwood trees there in the north. And it's an awesome, awesome drive to just take some time and see God's creation. But you know, when you take a minute and study that route out, maybe get on the website for the Automobile Association, they do give you some thoughts and some warnings about this route. For example, they tell you that you need to check your gas gauge before taking this trip, because there's a lot of stretches, 40 and 50 miles long, where there's absolutely no gas station to be found. And you want to make sure that you're fueled up and ready to go. They tell you that you want to make sure you take every advantage of using a restroom when you see it on this trip, because you can go long stretches without using the restroom. And all of us with wives and daughters say amen to that. We've learned our lesson. Stop every chance you can. They also tell you to allow plenty of time. They say the average speed is about 35 to 40 miles an hour if you're going to take Route 1. It's not a hurried trip. You want to be able to plan a lot of time. They also say you want to check, especially on a week like this, because there's a lot of mudslides on Highway 1. And you want to check with the Highway Patrol, make sure the road's even open all the way up to San Francisco. You know, in short, everyone that's wise, when they get ready to take a trip, they're going to check the weather conditions, they're going to check the route, they want to study and make sure they're headed off in the right direction. Unfortunately, some people study for a vacation trip and for a drive more than they do for their marriage. Unfortunately, some people will study for a journey, maybe to another state, more than they'll even consider eternal life. And we're here these next several weeks to learn how to follow the Lord in what really matters in our life. Several years ago, a young man came to me, and he was getting some counsel about the subject of marriage. And he wanted to talk about marriage, and I think it's very wise, before you give your heart to someone, to get some godly counsel about that subject. And I said, let me ask you some questions about the relationship. And one of the first questions I asked, I said, is the young lady that you're interested in saved? And by the way, that's the most important question we ever ask about anybody. It's not where they went to school or how much money they have, but are they saved? And he kind of put his head down and he said, well, to be honest, he said, you know, she's not really saved yet. And I gave him some counsel not to get too involved emotionally until he could maybe see her come to church and maybe become a Christian. And I gave that counsel based on what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, where it says, be not unequally yoked together as the manner of some is with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath darkness with light? The Bible commands us that we should not yoke together as in a marital or even a business relationship with someone that is an unbeliever. And so I challenged him to make sure that he waited for someone who also knew and loved the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says, and it's in your notes there in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man, that's the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, we have a lot of people in church today who have a husband who's not saved, or a lot of men who have a wife who's not saved, and you're here today serving your Lord, and I commend you for that. But they would be the first to tell you that when you're married to someone who doesn't have the Holy Spirit, they think this is stupid, and they think being here is a waste of time. And therein lies the conflict, you see. In the olden days, they would take two oxen, and they would put a yoke over them, and they would put a plow behind them, and they would plow the field. But whenever you had a real small ox and a larger ox, or a lazy ox and a hardworking ox, you had an unequal yoke, and it was hard for the farmer to get his work done. And God says when you have a Christian yoked together with someone who doesn't even believe in the Bible, then it's hard to get the work done in the marriage. And so it's so important in a Christian marriage that truly the husband and wife know the Lord and are following the leadership of His Spirit in their life. This is the plan of God for the family. And God's desire is that together we would be joint heirs of the grace of God for all of eternity. And so this morning, how can we be a family that has the right GPS dialed in, headed in the right direction, and going where God wants us to go. Well, let's notice this morning, first of all, we must allow the Holy Spirit to lead our family. We must allow the Holy Spirit of God to lead our family. Now, someone says, well, that's a great abstract statement, Pastor, but how does that really become the reality in my life? How can we have a Spirit-led family? Well, notice what it says again in verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. All right, let's say that together. Everyone with me, Ephesians 5:18, ready, begin. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, God commands us in this verse to be filled with His Spirit. And the truth that predicates this matter of being filled with the Spirit is that we must be emptied of ourselves, right? You can't fill a container that's full up already. It requires humility. It requires an emptying of ourselves. And in the Bible, no believer is commanded to be indwelt by the Spirit or baptized by the Spirit, because that happens the moment we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are born again by the Spirit. And if you are saved this morning, that is, you have put your faith in Jesus Christ to forgive your sin and take you to heaven, then you are the recipient of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what Jesus spoke about to Nicodemus when he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. And if you've been born again, you have received the Spirit of God. So the Bible never says, receive the Holy Spirit of God in that sense, because we do that when we are saved. But the Bible does command us to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, not every Christian is completely surrendered to the Spirit or walking in the Spirit of God. It's something that we must consciously seek each and every day, the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the Holy Spirit wants to guide your family and mine. And He wants this to be a matter of the heart, a heart yielded to Him, a heart that is for Him. In fact, notice in verse 19 it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The Spirit-filled Christian has a joy in their heart, and they have a song in their heart that is for the Lord. Not only does the Spirit-filled Christian have a joyous heart, but notice what it says also there in the Bible, in verse number 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This person that is guided by the Holy Spirit will have a heart of joy and will have a spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude within the home. And so God will guide this leaded family, this yielded family. But notice secondly, the Holy Spirit will give grace to a yielded family. The Holy Spirit will give grace to a yielded family. Now, the Holy Spirit not only wants to guide your family, He not only wants to give you unity and gratitude, but He wants to give grace to your family. Now, let me give you a picture of that grace in verse 21. Notice, please, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, this is speaking of Christians in a body of believers. It's speaking to families as well. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, to submit yourself to another person requires grace and humility. How many of you would agree with me on that? I mean, for a wife to follow her husband, for a husband to put his agenda aside and do what his wife would want to do, that requires grace. That requires the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And God says in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. In other words, there's no pecking order with God. All of us have been created by Him and for Him, and all of us should be submissive and yielded to the Lord and to one another as unto the Lord, preferring one another. Submission is a voluntary surrender of my will to God, and a wise Christian couple is a couple that submits their will to the side and gives their heart to God and lets God lead in their family. And so we must allow the Holy Spirit to lead our family. As you begin 2010, it would be very wise for every husband here to say, God, I ask you by your Spirit and by your Bible to lead me in the new year. And it'd be very wise for every wife to say, Lord, I want to ask you to lead me in the new year through your word, through your Spirit, and I pray, Lord, through a godly husband for leadership this year. And every individual here that is not married, Lord, lead me this year, because I'm not going to get from point A to point B without your leadership and without your help. We must allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now let's notice, secondly, we must accept our biblical responsibility. God is going to lead you, no question, if you seek His leadership. But God wants each of us to accept our God-given responsibility. And so let's notice what our responsibilities are as we look into the Word of God. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Now I realize that times are certainly changing in America today. We had to pass a proposition in California, Prop 8, that simply said marriage is for a man and a woman. And you know, people threw a fit about that. They're still angry about that. They're picketing about that. Right now in the courts in Northern California, there are groups trying to sue and say it's unconstitutional, and they want to have marriage for a man and a man and a woman and a woman, and they literally want to rewrite what the Word of God says. Now, let me tell you, my friends, God is not in the revising business. He is not revising His plan on the marriage issue. The Los Angeles Times, every single day this past week, was writing about this matter and just keeping the issue before everyone concerning gay and lesbian marriages. And they said that 33% of lesbian and 22% of gay marriages have adopted children. And they're raising them up in that lifestyle. And by the way, thank God for Christian families that adopt children and raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen? And I read that and I thought, how tragic. And they were arguing in court this week that how great these families are. And one woman, Helen Zia, a lesbian writer, said it was such a help to her when she married her partner because finally she was received by her family. And she said marriage in the traditional way to her is too patriarchal. In other words, she thought the idea of male leadership to be very offensive to her, and she stood adamantly against that. Now let me say, my friends, we are here this morning to see what the Bible says about marriage and about our biblical responsibility. And the last time I checked, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. God has given a very clear pattern for what a marriage is supposed to be. And in this day when people in Washington, D.C. and Sacramento are promoting things against the Word of God, it doesn't matter your race or your origin. What matters, my friend, is do you know Jesus and do you believe this Bible? Because if you believe this Bible, there's one plan for marriage, and it's between a man and it's between a woman. And God has ordained this. And God's intention is that a husband and wife would come together, led by His Spirit, to fulfill particular responsibilities. Now let's look at these responsibilities. And I know they're old-fashioned, but we are here to learn God's will and God's way today. So let's study it very briefly. First, a wife is to support her husband. The Bible speaks of this in verse 22. Submitting yourself to your own husband. Verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, many times this language strikes against people in today's modern concept. But I want you to see it in the context of Scripture. First, it says a wife is to submit to her husband as unto the Lord. Now, fellas, don't get a big head on this. It doesn't mean you're the Lord. It doesn't mean that, you know, we are the final authority. In fact, any man or woman, for that matter, who has authority and who is spiritual understands that all authority is under authority and that all of us are under God. And the Bible says that a husband is under the Lord, and that a wife follows her husband as unto the Lord. There have been many times in our 29 years of marriage when I have not been as right with God as I should be, or I have not made a decision that was the proper decision, and yet Terry biblically still has supported me and stood behind me in those decisions, knowing that if my way is not right, I'm going to give an account to the Lord. So she submits herself to me as unto the Lord, who is the final authority, and that is a safety net for her, and that is a comfort for her in her life, that she's really not following Paul Chappell, though she is following me in the home. She's really ultimately following the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the mark of a spiritual and godly woman. The husband is under the authority of Christ. One time, Mark Twain was out in Utah giving some lectures, and he began to have an argument with a Mormon friend on the subject of polygamy. And finally, the Mormon said to him, he said, "Look, can you find one single passage of Scripture that forbids polygamy?" And Mark Twain said, "Yes, I can. No man shall serve two masters." Now, in a lot of homes, that's how it is. And there's a lot of wimpy husbands in this world today. There's a lot of men in this world today who just are not providing spiritual leadership. There are men every Sunday who come to church because their wife really wants them to. But I say to you that God is looking for men who want to come to church and who want to lead and who aren't spiritually wimpy, but who are spiritually growing. And God says that a wife is to support her husband, Colossians 3:18. Submit yourselves unto your own husband as is fit unto the Lord. Now the church today, and I mean Christians today, have been so engulfed with worldly philosophies that many times the church has begun to establish and accept standards that are from the world and not from the Word of God. And I want you to see this and understand, ladies, this morning, that in matters of role and function, God has made a distinction between the man and the woman. There are no differences of intrinsic value or spiritual worth in this matter. God has simply established distinctions in government, in the church, and in the home. And we are not speaking this morning about value or worth. God is not saying, in fact, contrary to the God-denying positions that say that wherever Christianity has come, there's some type of repression. The fact of the matter is, where Christianity has prospered, women have always been treated better. They have been honored in society. And so it is in the Scriptures that a woman is to be honored. Joyce Rogers, the wife of Dr. Adrian Rogers, once said, "To prove submission is a wonderful concept. Jesus became the ultimate illustration of its validity. Although he was co-equal and co-eternal with the Father, he was completely submissive to the Father's will. Jesus himself said, 'For I do always those things that please him.'" Now, we believe that Jesus Christ is 100% eternal God. We believe that Jesus Christ has all the attributes of the Godhead. And yet, Jesus Christ laid aside the prerogatives of his deity and humbly followed the will of his heavenly Father. What an example for every Christian wife who desires to be Christ-like in her everyday life. Now understand, ladies, that we're not speaking this morning about superiority and inferiority. That's not entering the equation. In fact, there are many areas. My wife's here on the fourth row this morning, and I said this in the first service too, honey. There are many areas where my wife is superior to me. Sometimes in the spiritual realms, I can think of some Bible texts where she shared with me some things that I'd never seen just that way. Some weeks when she's walking with the Lord and prayer and has a peace and an obvious anointing of God on her life, and maybe in my life I've not walked as closely, and there are certainly times when our wives are superior to us spiritually, perhaps academically. There are many course subjects where my wife has excelled my position, and so the Bible is not saying that a woman is inferior in some way. The Bible is simply saying that God is a God of order, and that God has established order for the family, and that he wants the husband to provide the spiritual leadership in that home. And so a wife surrenders to her husband as unto the Lord, and she surrenders in every biblical way. Verse 24 says, "As the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." And wives, how you ought to thank God if you have a saved husband today. And if your husband's not saved, you're doing the right thing by being faithful this morning and praying for him and giving a good model and testimony before him. The wife is to support her husband. Notice secondly, the husband is to give Christ-like love to his wife. Now the key phrase there is Christ-like love. And I want you to see what it says in verse 23. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." But notice verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Now, there are many sacrifices to be made in a good marriage, in a godly marriage, and the husband is to lead in that sacrificial manner. Even as Jesus Christ came to this earth and took upon himself the form of a servant and became obedient unto the death of the cross, there are times God says, if you're going to show love, it's going to require sacrifice.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We've been studying a series entitled Highway 1. We're discovering how to make the journey of life with Jesus. Friend, if you don't know that Jesus is in your heart and life as your personal Savior, the most important decision you could ever make is to place your trust in Him, to simply call upon Him and ask Him to come into your life and be your one and only Savior. It's an act of trust. It's an act of placing all of your faith in Him alone for salvation, for eternal life. In that moment, He answers that prayer. He comes into your life, and that relationship begins, and the journey with Him through life begins, and nothing could be more important. If you have questions about that decision, we would love to talk with you more if you'll call us. I'll give you a number in just a few moments, but we would love to talk with you and help you trust Christ as your Savior. Friend, I want to remind you, you can find out more about this program at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. One of the most exciting resources on that website is simply entitled The Rooted in Christ Daily Devotional. If you'd like to read through your Bible in a year and also have a daily proverb and a daily devotional thought with a rooted principle, this is a free subscription. You simply need to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Click on the Rooted in Christ Daily Devotional. If you submit your email address every day in your email box, you'll receive an Old and New Testament scripture reading, a proverb, and a word of encouragement from Dr. Chappell. It's all complimentary. It's our gift to you, and you can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Don't forget, there's a Daily in the Word podcast as well. You can subscribe for free, download the program, take it with you on your phone or iPad or iPod, and listen to it at your convenience. Why don't you refer a friend today to dailyintheword.org? It's a treasury of resources for spiritual growth. And visit us online again, dailyintheword.org, or if we can be a help to you, simply give us a call toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.